Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Nicholas Mancini, currently the pastor of Sacred Heart of Mary Parish in Louisville, and he's the spiritual director for us here at Living Bread Radio. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim.
Great to have you and see you again.
Good.
Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, about what we believe as Catholics. And today the question, we start at question 49 in the UCAT. Does God guide the world and my life?
Yes. But in a mysterious way, God guides everything along paths that only he knows, leading it to its perfection. At no point in time does something that he has created fall out of his hands. And I think we have to look at this a little more clearly here, that God influences both the great events of history and also the little events of our personal life, without reducing our freedom or making us mere puppets, as it were, in his eternal plan. In God, we live and move and have our being. This is so beautifully described in Acts 17:28. God is in everything we meet, in all the changes in our life, even in the painful events. Okay, God is there for us. God wants to right straight, even with the crooked lines of our own life. What he takes away from us and what he gives us, the ways in which he strengthens us and in ways in which he tests us, all are these things which he gives us are signs of his will. And I think, too, you know, we see this in the early saints of the church. They accepted in their life a share in the suffering of the love of God. The early martyrs, you know, they defended Jesus even unto death. So they accepted that pain and suffering, knowing that, yes, this is part of God's plan for them. But through it all, they rejoiced in the Lord. You know, you see some of these movies about the lives of the saints, or some of these movies that were made, how the early martyrs went to their death. They went singing praises to God because they knew this is part of God's plan for them. Just as Jesus accepted his cross, they accepted their cross in the divine providence of God and followed the path towards the kingdom.
I have a friend that has a saying, God can do anything. And I know in my own life, things haven't always gone the way that I thought that they would. But as I get older, I've learned that as I pray to God and I ask for his will to be done in my life, again, things go a little differently than what I thought they would. But as you just mentioned from the UCAT, God is in the big things and he's in the little things. So God is everywhere. He's all powerful. He's all loving. And he can do anything. So we have to be submissive to his will and be humble when we pray, so that whatever direction God wants our life to take, we have to be ready and prepared to go with the flow based on what God wants.
This is so true. You know, and it's the role which man plays in God's providence, you know, that is unfolding here. The completion of creation through divine providence is not something that happens above and beyond us. God invites us to collaborate in the completion of creation. And how beautiful that is. Man can reject God's will. He does better, though, to become an instrument of God's love. And this, I think, was so beautifully revealed by St. Francis of Assisi. In that beautiful prayer that he gives us, where he writes, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is strife, unity. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love." And what a beautiful description of man's role with God and how we can bring that into this world of ours.
And again, in order to be able to do that, to be an instrument of God's love, we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge God as creator and as Lord, and that he's the boss and he's in control, and I'm not. My job is to listen and to obey and to discern God's will for my life and then ask for the grace to follow through and actually do his will.
Right. St. Augustine pointed this out. He says it so beautifully. Quote, he says, "He who made you knows also what he wants to do with you." And I think Augustine, beautifully says this. And it's a way in which saying, look at his life. I mean, when you look at the life of St. Augustine, how he started out. But what did God have in store for him? All right, he started out with false gods, rejecting God and rejecting faith, living a loose life, following the paths of the ways of the world, got involved with a friend of his and with loose living and women and so forth and the like. But then there was a complete turnaround through the power of prayer through his mother. But God, working in Augustine, changed him through that love. And what does Augustine do but accepts the glory of the divine providence of God and becomes for us one of the greatest saints in the church? And the power of that love that he speaks of and the providence of God, that God himself takes man and forms him no matter what he has done and how he can reshape that life into the goodness of the divine providence of the one who loves him.
Augustine met Ambrose along the way as well.
Yes.
And St. Ambrose was a mentor to St. Augustine, who taught him not only the Catholic faith, but how to live his life in a way that was pleasing to God.
Correct. And what a beautiful way.
And we're called to do the same thing in that we're called to be Christ for one another.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, another one of Augustine's prayers come to mind that is one of my favorite sayings. He says, "Pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you." So in other words, yes, God's grace will help us, but we still have to cooperate with that grace and do something. We can't just sit in a chair and hope things are going to get better. We actually have to take action. And again, if we're praying for the grace of God to help us, again, once we're out in the world, we can be Christ to others and we can say the right thing in just the right way and actually turn somebody's life around because they're thinking thoughts of depression and despair.
Right.
But then you come along and you're a ray of sunshine and you're the light of Christ. And again, God's providence is able to work through you and your life and me and my life.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we can be Christ to one another just regular people. We don't have to be an ordained priest, right, or even a saint yet.
No. By the way we live and move and have our being, as Scripture tells us, our relationship and what we do to others and bringing that love of God into their lives, to overcome the paths of evil and to accept the goodness of the Lord once again.
Which leads me to my next question, Father. Question 51 of the UCAT asks, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, why does not he prevent evil? Why does he allow evil to exist?
God allows evil only so as to make something better result from it. Evil in the world is an obscure and painful mystery. Even the crucified asked his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Much about it is incomprehensible. One thing, though, we know for sure, God is 100% good. He can never be the one who brings something into the essence of evil. No way. God created the world to be good, but it is not yet complete. Okay? It unveils itself in a painful process, and it is being shaped and moved towards its final perfection. There is what is called physical evil, for example, a birth defect or a natural catastrophe, and these remain puzzling with respect to God's goodness. Moral evils, in contrast, come about through the misuse of freedom in the world, hell on earth, child soldiers, suicide bombings, concentration camps, is usually man-made. The decisive question, then, is therefore not how can anyone believe in a good God when there is so much evil, but rather, how could a person with a heart and understanding endure life in this world if God did not exist? Christ's death and resurrection show us that evil did not have the first word, nor does it have the last. We believe that in the last judgment, God will put an end to all injustice in the life of the world to come. Evil no longer has a place, and sufferings will end.
You know, the other point I think we should make, Father, is that God gave us free will, and he won't force us to love him, and he won't force us to do good. So again, evil exists because God has given us free will,
right?
And that includes allowing us to sin, even though he doesn't like it when we sin. We offend him when we sin.
Yes, and you know, when we do that, he gives us a way home through the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation.
Well said, Father. Well, we've been listening to Father Nicholas Mancini on Faith with Father through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. This has been Tim Perry. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.